Welcome to the latest episode of Kol HaChalutz. I've been wanting to make this episode for several years, and I'm excited that I finally made it happen. I'm joined by Shai Harburger and Shachar Dekel, the first two kids born to Kibbutz Mishol. They are now both in their 20s, and I sat down with them both separately to talk about their childhoods in the kibbutz and how they relate to the kibbutz today. Enjoy. Shachar, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for inviting me.
So let's jump right in. Firstly, can you tell us what you're doing these days?
These days, I guess you could say the past year, which is the first year since I got out of the military. And I guess you could divide that into three parts. So the first part was sitting there thinking about what I want to do with myself and also taking some time to recover from my service. The second part, I'd say, was the best part, which is traveling. I went on my own little Euro trip from Vienna to Oslo through Europe, and I had a lot of fun doing that. I met a lot of friends, some friends I knew before, some friends I met there. And then my last few months, I've been walking in the kibbutz with the youth. I've been a madrich, so somewhat of a guide, counselor type role for the teenagers. And I have also been playing in a band and thinking about the future. I've been looking at the university and jobs and planning out my next few years, I suppose.
Great. You've been practicing, you've been rehearsing for a gig that you're doing this weekend for the kibbutz. How's that been?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been awesome so far. The band is really good and fun, and we're enjoying practice a lot. We just had practice yesterday, and it was awesome. I love it. It really adds a lot of light to my life, and I love music, and I love doing music, and it just makes every weekend so much fun with the band practice.
Great. Look, I'm looking forward to it, really looking forward to it. So I want to hear about what it's been like growing up in an urban kibbutz. How was it different for you than, say, other kids in your class at school?
So first off, I'd say it was very much different. Even just the entire concept of being a half kibbutz, half city born, it gave an entire different perspective on life. An entire community that I was a part of. Every other kid in my class was just a part of his own family. I was also a part of a kibbutz. It came across in having a very big community behind me, having a lot of adults that are close to me. I guess you could say it's kind of similar to a big family in a way. It made it somewhat weird sometimes explaining where I'm from, but I really took pride in it, and I explained it whenever I was called to. I think it really made my life easier as a teen or as a school boy.
Actually, tell me a little bit. What is kibbutz, for those that don't know, what is Kibbutz Mishol?
Kibbutz Mishol is an urban kibbutz, started out about 23 years ago. It consists of a few groups of people who live firstly together as a group and then together as an entire community. There are about 60 adults and 80 children, and it's carrying on the old traditional kibbutz way of shared living, shared finances, shared cars, while also putting it in a more modern way of, instead of agriculture and instead of industrial factories, the main action the kibbutz takes is education. And so they call it sometimes an educator's kibbutz. So about 20 of the adults work in education, in schools around the city, and that's the main mission of the kibbutz. So it's a mission-oriented community, you could say.
And what's your part in the kibbutz today?
Besides walking in the kibbutz and guiding the teenagers, that would be ages 15 through 18, I'm also still a part of the community. I take part in all the communal gatherings, whether it be holidays or events. participate in. Sometimes I also take part in playing the music for it. And we have Kabbalat Shabbat, so we meet in Friday evenings to have dinner together, and I enjoy that very much. And I think I'm still, in a lot of ways, as much a part as I was before I became an adult.
What do you appreciate having grown up this way?
I think, firstly, the fact that I had a big community behind me meant that I had a lot of people I can be connected to, a lot of people that can help me whenever I need to. Whenever I needed their help, it meant that I could rely on a lot of people. I got to experience a lot of different things that I could never get to experience growing up regularly. So I walked in different teams around the kibbutz. I got to experience walking with networking and woodworking and a lot of different stuff that you don't really get just normally growing up. It had a big effect on my education. I think a lot of my values come from the kibbutz. It shaped the person that I grew up to be in a big way.
And can you give any specific examples of like support that you feel that you have received from the community or from specific people in the community that are not your immediate family?
Since grade 7, I had my own guide counselor, the same way I am today. I've had that person all the way through middle school, and then I had a different person through high school. And even after that, I had a person whose role towards me was a counselor, and I still have one today. And it really helps when there's an adult, it's not your parent, that you can talk to and you can discuss everything with. And a lot of people in the kibbutz also have very wide view of life or very different expertise that can help you in different ways. So it's awesome when people can be there for you whenever you need it in lots of different aspects, I'd say. You need a lawyer, there's a lawyer. You need someone who works with computers, you have that. It's very much a big support group, I guess.
I want to ask you, what was hard? What was hard growing up this way?
There was a minor difficulty around finance or just the economic abilities. I wouldn't say I was poor, but I could definitely see that a lot of the kids in my class had richer families and could afford things that I couldn't. I never really cared that much for it, but I did notice it.
And did you sometimes hide the fact that you were from the kibbutz with your friends at school?
I sometimes do, not with my friends from school, but rather whenever I don't care to go into explaining, because I know today that whenever I say urban kibbutz, anyone that hears it wants to know more about it. And sometimes I just cannot be asked to sit and explain it all. So I just omit it and say that I'm from Nof HaGalil, and that's it. So it really depends on my mood and who I'm talking to and whether I want to start explaining it or not.
And in what way is the kibbutz part of who you are today?
I think, as I said, it educated me a lot, and it's had a big role in my growing up and in my values that I picked up growing up. I think that it made me a more compassionate, more willing to share my life with people, and I think it really gave me a lot of things in that way. Also, I think that it allows me to keep growing the way that I do, and whether it be the counselor that I still have that I talk to regularly or the opportunities that I am given just living here. So I think it still is a big part of my life, and it's also a big part of still growing up that I'm doing.
It gives you a space and a platform to think about who you are, what you are, and what you want to do.
Yes, absolutely. And I think more than that, it encourages me to grow and develop. And I keep having conversations with teams that try to figure out exactly what I need and how the kibbutz can accustom itself to the best of its ability towards my needs, whether it be becoming a driver and figuring out how to accommodate for younger drivers, or even the major question of whether I want to be myself a member of the kibbutz or not. was through conversation and through understanding my needs and my wants. And I think that's really important.
But don't you, have you ever also felt sometimes that you want to make decisions that other people are maybe making decisions for you? Is that something that you've felt at times?
I think perhaps when I was younger, but because mostly I think because I am the firstborn, a lot of the decisions were made with me in consideration and through conversations with me. So I think if you look at all the kids in the kibbutz, I had the most say in how things are. And so I wouldn't say that decisions were entirely made for me. I'd say that I was encouraged to make my own decisions, and the decisions that were made in talks with me.
Oh, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think it's very important too in raising children to give them a voice and to let them know that they have an impact on their lives and they can choose to do whatever they want to and still get the support that they need.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your relationships with the other kids around your age in the kibbutz.
We are seven from me, who is the oldest, until 3 years younger than me, that are somewhat of a compact group. And ever since high school, we've been very close together. And today, all of us are past high school already. Some of us are in the military, some are out. But we still get to hang out whenever we can, and we really enjoy each other's company. And I'd say we're very much close group of friends.
Do you ever feel a responsibility as like the oldest kid to be a model, to be a role model for the younger kids? Was that something that you ever felt pressure? You ever felt that that was something that you needed to fulfill?
I wouldn't say I felt pressure. I think I do feel some responsibility in that I know that my decisions are going to set some standard for the next generations of children, or at least this generation, but all of the children that came after me. With that in mind, I know that the kibbutz makes its best effort to fit itself to everyone. So even if I make some decision and then the kibbutz accustoms itself to me, I know it can change if someone needs something different. So I'm not afraid that my decisions will make it harder for others. I think that when the time comes, they'll have their own decisions and the kibbutz will make it easier for them.
I'm going to change tack and ask you a different question about where you see yourself in, let's say, 5 years. Do you see yourself in the city? Do you see yourself in a community? Do you see yourself here? What are you thinking?
I think what's been on my mind recently is that I know that I want to study in a university, specifically in Haifa. So ideally, I'd be studying in Haifa. I'm not entirely sure what yet. I've been looking into different subjects, different areas of study. So I think that I would like to imagine myself living in Haifa with my girlfriend. And I know that I do want to be a part of a community in my life. Growing up as a part of a community really taught me the importance of it and all of its pluses and the pros of living with other people. So I think I would love to live in a community, and I think that it would take going out and meeting people and figuring out who I want to be with in a community, whether it be people that are from my youth movement or the Garin that I was a part of through my service year and military, or whether it be other friends of mine or people that I don't know yet. I know that I want to be a part of a community in my life. So whether it be 5 years from now or 10, I would love to make it happen.
You mentioned a couple of times your army service, and I'm wondering how coming from the kibbutz and coming back to the kibbutz when you came out of the army on breaks, how that impacted, you know, you talk about your values, like how did that impact your army service?
I think that it had a big impact, firstly on the type of service which I did, which was the nahal, which is doing the service year and then doing 2 years as one role in the army and then doing another role that's more similar to the service year in the education corps. And so I think that the values that I carried on for my education really helped me in my first role, which was as a combat soldier. I think that it really made me more compassionate towards the people that I was in contact with, and it made me question a lot of the things that we were doing, whether they were right and whether they were justified. And I think that it really helped me put my values first and understand the impacts of my actions. And also coming back home from the army, I always had people to talk to, and I always had people who cared about me and who asked me everything. And I think it's really important to have people talking to you when you come back. So it really helped, and I'm glad that I had it.
Shachar, thank you so, so much for taking time to talk to me today. I'll see you in the corridors of the kibbutz, as they say. And thank you. Have a good rest of your week.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Shai, thanks for joining me.
Hi. Happy to be here.
I want to start by asking you what you're doing these days.
So these days, I've actually moved out and I'm living with my own kibbutz in Haifa. And I work in the child care of Kibbutz Mishol. And I also am studying history and education. And it's kind of a communal degree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of the people I live with in my kibbutz are doing that, and I'm in charge of it. So these are like my two main things that I'm doing.
What does it mean to be in charge of it?
It's not like a regular college where you go and you like somebody else is giving you courses and tells you what you need to learn. We decide what our day of studying looks like, and we invite lecturers to come.
It's a course that's been running for many years of different generations of movement members.
Yes. My dad was also, he got his first degree in this course as well, in like a different
century.
Yeah, no, it was in a different university college, yeah.
Amazing. So tell me, you're living in a kibbutz today in Haifa,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering how your experience there is different since you grew up in an urban kibbutz yourself, how that's different your other kibbutz members that haven't had that childhood and that experience.
I have more insight because I kind of have this template in my mind, and it's good because there's some dilemmas that we come across as a young kibbutz, and people don't know how to solve them. I have like, this is how they do it in Kibbutz Mishol. But sometimes it's not that great because let's say our cars, they're so dirty. We have communal cars like in Kibbutz Mishol, and our cars are dirty. And in Kibbutz Mishol, the cars are like pristine. They're so clean, and it's like scary how clean they are. And in my head, we have to have those clean cars. This is the standard. This is what we have to have. And the people I live with, they're like, no, it's not that big of a deal. It's okay that our cars are a bit messy and a bit dirty and there's stuff in them. Could be like good because I have knowledge of how things can look. And in Kibbutz Mishol, you do things really well in some areas, and some areas it's difficult because I have this standard or this template that I defect to, but it's not necessarily the best course of action or like the best choices. Or
because there are things that you see that are maybe right for Kibbutz Mishol and not right for where you guys are at.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also about the age gap because we're like in our 20s. And you guys are in your 40s and you have kids who are in their 20s. So things that might work for you don't work for us at all. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Give us a few words about Kibbutz Mishol. How do you see Kibbutz Mishol?
I think Kibbutz Mishol is complicated, honestly. As a kid, I used to think that I would never grow up and live like that because I thought everybody's in everybody else's business and you don't have your own car and you don't have your own money. But as I grew up and as a teenager, as I started going to the youth movement, to Machanat Olim, I realized there is a lot of strengths to living communally, living in a kibbutz. You have a great support system and you have connections, especially if you're staying inside this ring of Kibbutz Mishol and Kibbutz Tobchira and Machanat Olim. And I started seeing more of the good things, like we have Shabbat together and we have holidays together. And also, as a teenager, I felt like it was a great support system for me because there are other teenagers around who are going through the same thing I'm going through. And the kibbutz is providing us with its own kind of education system. Like people from Kibbutz Mishol would talk to me about my experience as a teenager on a weekly basis. I don't think many kids have that.
Mm-hmm. And the challenges, what was hard?
Challenges. It's hard growing up and out of the kibbutz because suddenly some of the things that other kids my age, other 20-year-olds have, I don't have that. It's not a given that my parents would support me financially, or it's not a given that I would necessarily have a room in my parents' house throughout my 20s, even though I moved away.
Mm-hmm.
Other 20-year-olds, their parents give them their car, their parents give them money for insurance or for their phone and stuff. And for me, it's more complicated because Kibbutz Mishol does give me some money and I can use the car, but I do need to use my own money to pay for it. And it's cool and it's okay, but it was challenging figuring it out and it still is an interesting experience where the support is because I do work in Kibbutz Mishol.
So you have a complicated relationship with Kibbutz Mishol because it's not just where you grew up.
Yeah.
It's not just where your parents live. It's not just where you work. It's also, it's all of those things together. And it's all the time that relationship is changing.
Yeah.
And you have to think about it and create a new relationship as you.
Yeah. And it's like, it's everywhere. Like, I can't get away with from it because I also live, my kibbutz is kind of related to Kibbutz Mishol and it's also like physically kind of close, I guess. And we meet you guys in the movement's events and then I have a relationship with the adults in Kibbutz Mishol and I have a relationship with the kids in Kibbutz Mishol and also my friends have a relationship with the adults and the kids and I have what I think about the general kibbutz and about specific people in kibbutz, but also my friends have those thoughts and it could be like overwhelming because it's like, I can't go anywhere without having those relationship kind of in my business. Even in my degree, someone from Kibbutz Mishol is like in charge of it.
Yeah, is it sometimes overwhelming? Are you sometimes thinking this is all too close and too claustrophobic?
Sometimes I do choose to live in the new kibbutz that we're making. It's an active choice every day. So even though it is overwhelming sometimes, something I'm very happy and glad I have because it is a very good support system because my parents, they know kind of what I'm going through. They did it. And my employer knows. We want to go and work in Iran for a week, which we did a few months ago.
That's one of the movement kibbutz in.
Yeah. So my employer knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't need to explain to her, oh, we have this thing. It's a social thing. And it's also would benefit everybody in the movement because it's one of the main incomes. And it's like we want to support the movement. So we're going to do it.
And are there things that you feel like you want to do differently and want to learn from what you know up close of Mishol and you're saying, that I want to change, that I want to bring to my partners in my kibbutz in a different way?
So yeah, one of the main thing I have strong opinion about is how eventually when we have kids, I would like to treat them and treat their education. because I think Michelle did a lot of things right with the education of the kids in Michelle, but I also think that it does a lot of things wrong, and such as being surprised that a 20-year-old discharged soldier doesn't have money, that living outside of your parents' house costs money. So I would like us, when we talk about having kids in like 5 years, 10 years from now, to talk about how we can financially support those kids throughout their life, and what does that mean, what does that for us financially when they're young or when they don't exist yet.
Okay, let's take you back to when you're a kid.
Okay.
I heard stories of kids from the kibbutz that would hide the fact that they were from Kibbutz Michelle when they were, you know, they were in school, and kids were asking them, where do you live? Were you ever in that sort of position? And if not, like, what was it like to explain to kids that you were doing after school activities with, or you were at school with? How did you explain where you lived?
I don't remember doing that. I don't remember like hiding from being in Kibbutz Michelle. Sometimes I wouldn't like emphasize it. I'm from Nof HaGalil and that's it. It's okay. But as I grew up, I began to realize that it's really cool. I thought it was cool. And I was very proud of the way my parents live, and that we were different from other families. Instead of being ashamed of it, I was owning it. It's like, yes, my parents, they made a kibbutz and they're doing these big things in the world, and this is the right way to live. And as a teenager, especially because I was in the youth movement, it was one of my strengths. And also because I'm the oldest girl, it's kind of a celebrity in a way. Because when I finished high school and went on Shnat Shirut, like gap year, mm-hmm. between the end of high school and the army, mm-hmm. it was like, oh my God, Shai and Shachar from Kibbutz Michol, they're in our year and they're like from Michol, and it's like, wow, it's crazy. Yeah. And there are like good things about it. Is there something fun about having this attention? It's not that great too at the same time, because like, I just let me be myself, let me do my thing, let me prove that I'm good because I'm good and not because I'm from Michol. I don't remember hiding or being ashamed.
Uh-huh. No, it's a big responsibility. Like, I'm sure that the kids in the kibbutz look up to you and see you, and you were in a lot of ways a trailblazer, the first to do this and the first to do that, and maybe even the guinea pig, if you will.
Yeah, as kids, Shachar and Netta and I, we joked around that we're the guinea pigs. Or, yeah, the lab rats, uh-huh. we used to call ourselves. Yeah, because it's true. For the first time, you need a childcare system. And for the first time, you need to figure out what you do when your kid is sick, and what you do when your kid is going to first grade, and what you do when your kid goes to high school. It's like, no one else has done that before, and no one else in the movement done that before. There's something about it that's a lot of responsibility, and there's something about it that nowadays I'm kind of trying to be at peace with, and trying to remind myself that over and over and over, mistakes that were made on my back were not made on other kids' backs. And it's a good thing at the end of the day. And that also, I am my own person. I'm not just the lab rat for this weird experiment where socialists had the kids. I'm Shai. I am myself. And I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah, that could happen. See that there could be resentment there.
Yeah. I don't know if resentment. No, maybe resentment. Just like, sometimes it's uncomfortable, or a lot of the time it's uncomfortable being the first.
Mm-hmm. Like, are the things that now you look at the other kids in the kibbutz and were like, in my day, they wouldn't that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, there's some things like that. Like, when I heard that kids that 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds are working for money outside of kibbutz, I was like, what the heck? But I'm glad for them that they can do it. I'm happy for them because I think that's something I was lacking in this opportunity to go and work outside of kibbutz. And I'm glad that the inside education system of Kibbutz Mishal is evolving and new people are coming in and they're giving their own input. And it's different from what people who were in charge of it when I was a child did.
And in terms of working with the kibbutz kids today and meeting with the kibbutz kids.
They're like, the best. I love them.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I feel like it's easy for me to talk with them. We understand each other. And they're just, the kids in Kibbutz Mishal are so cute. All of them, all the ages are cute. And I'm happy for the kids that are like me, a bit nerdy, like love the movement, the youth movement, are going to go to the army, like the same path that I took, or similar, not the same. I'm happy for those kids. And I think that's really fun and cool. And I'm also happy for the kids who are like, I'm not playing with this. This is not my thing. You guys did this. That's good for you. I'm going to go and do my own thing. I love that. It's like whenever people from my kibbutz talk to me about these kids that are like, I'm going to go and do my own thing. And they're like asking me, how did those kids turn out like that? I'm like, for me, I think this is a good thing. This is like one of the points because it means they're normal. Like they're... It
means they can choose their own
path. Yeah.
And their path isn't chosen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A few years ago, I was in like, it's kind of the summer camp of... and it's where you learn how to be a guide in the youth movement. So I was there and some of my... Chanichot from a youth movement were there too, and some of them are like this nerdy cute girls and they're like, yes, give me all the knowledge you have, please. And some of them are like, yeah, I'm gonna go and be a rebel to the side there. And I'm like, good job, you guys, you good job, do that, be a rebel.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You mentioned before, something I'm going to pick up on that you said before, you mentioned Jafar and Netta.
Yeah.
Knowing what your relationship is with them and with the, you know, the kids that are roughly your age that you grew up with in the kibbutz, what does that look like in terms of that relationship?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. On the weekend, I met Netta and she asked me, how do you define our relationship? Because she said, we're not friends, but we're not sisters, but we're not cousins. We're something different. I told her, when I have the patience to explain something, I just use your first name and just say my Netta or my Shachar. Because that's kind of, they're part of my life. They're stable in my life. They're the first people. They know me. Maybe they don't know me the best, but they know who I am and where I come from and what I've been through. And maybe we don't talk for 5 months. That can happen because we're adults now and like each of us has their own lives. And then we would meet up and it would not matter at all that it's been 5 months since the last time we talked. And I don't know many people, so people have that, who have this like person who has just been there all their life, who's their age, who just knows, just, and who is on your side no matter what, like, no matter how stupid I'm being or no matter like how tough their life is or how tough my life is or like what other people think, it doesn't matter because I know that they're in my corner and they love me and I love them. And I'm in their corner too.
That sounds so special.
Yeah.
It really does.
It's fun.
And yeah. It sounds like you also realize how lucky you are
to have
those relationships and those people in your life that you've had since day one.
Yeah. 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 I'm lucky. I am lucky.
And in terms of adults in Kibbutz Mishal, do you have relationships with adults? How do you see the adults in Kibbutz Mishal that you, what does that look like?
it's also my name, but I'm a very shy kid or shy person, I guess. A lot of my life was shy and did not talk to a lot of the adults and with Michelle, only the ones that like were in charge of my education, I suppose. And now I'm working with two adults from Michelle, and it's a very interesting experience.
Tell me more.
Yeah. I don't know how to define it. It's not exactly like working with people from my kibbutz or my age. And it's not exactly like working with Natal Shachar. And it's not exactly like working with somebody I don't know. Because they know me and they know the history of the place we work, that my mom made that place for us when we were babies. And they trust me, even though I don't have that much experience yet. And they kind of trusted me from day one. And they're like, I was looking for a job a month before I finished my service. And I talked to Shira, who runs the daycare. And I talked to her and I was explaining her the situation. He was like, yeah, of course, you should come work with us. I'll give you something to do. Like, I trust you. It's a real special experience. Being given trust unconditionally is something that I experience in my life very rarely, kind of because of my reputation in the youth movement. Like, you're from Michelle, you need to know how to do this. And it's like, wait, no, I don't know how to do this way, actually. And then people start not trusting you. But in the daycare, I feel like they trust me and they also want to teach me. And they know that I don't know yet how to do everything. Yeah. I don't think I would have that in other places of work. Because I kind of did look for other places of work and it wasn't the same, obviously. But
Shai, thank you so, so much.
Thank
Absolutely
you.
Absolutely fascinating to hear from you and your experiences and how you see where you've come from and where you are right now. It's lovely to hear and to speak to you. Thank you.
Thank you.